The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
And the sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a doctor spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's right. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Never forget, news with an agenda is propaganda. That's the reality. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because if I stayed at home, I would still talk this much. How sad is that? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Yes, we are live today. Yes, I did make it into the studio. I'll comment on that later. But here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here we go. Straightforward. Do we operate in faith, or do we operate in doubt? You know, something's coming around the corner. Do you have faith, or do you doubt? That's the question. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just reach out and give us a call. It's okay. It's a telephone. It won't hurt you. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, 445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama.
Aww.
Isn't that just like the greatest thing? Like, no drama? Really? Oh, cool.
Yes, it is. And you made it, David.
I did. Isn't it amazing? We're talking about me renting a helicopter, but guess what? We can't do that. Anyhow, bottom line is I did get in. It has been the single worst week for driving that I can remember since we've been doing this show. It's a little over 4.5 years, over 1,000 shows, and we're just sitting there thinking, whoa. But here I am, and so for some of you, lucky you. For the rest of you, ha, 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 ha. Anyway, let's go on. If you want to reach out by phone, you can do that. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease. That's attached to John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease, at hemustincrease.org. So David at hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website. Lots to tell you. I do want to let you know that for yesterday, just for the sake, and I just want Jacob to know, I listened. Now, I've done a lot of shows. Let's just put it that way. And I hardly ever listen to our shows. I mean, I don't listen to them because I already know how I sound and I already annoy myself, okay? But I listened yesterday because I was listening for the content, and I was like, hey, pretty good. Not bad. See, I'm my biggest fan, and I'm my harshest critic at the same time. How's that? Do you like that?
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it, right? Like I'm like, yay. And then I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah. That showed you how timeless the show is because the show we played yesterday was from August.
Yeah. Amazing, right? Yeah. And it still applies to everything we're going through.
Yep.
That's what I love, okay? So bottom line, I did listen to the show. I liked some of it. Some of it was like, hey, all the jokes are great, no matter what anybody says, no matter how many buzzes I get. We are later in the show going to be doing Jake's Take. We will also be praying for people later in the show. I got Julianne that needs prayer, or Easton, so I'll be giving updates on stuff like that. We're going to pray for traveling mercies in just a moment. I do want to make sure, though, we send everybody up to the website first. On the website are a couple of different things. Of course, if you're interested in getting a website, there's information on it. I get one from my son at Cal Punch. That's kind of cool. And if he doesn't do a good job, you can always tell me, and then he has to deal with me, and that's terrible. So anyhow, on the website is an opportunity to give, plus encouragement by video, by audio, by articles, and access to 4,500 hours of podcasts, as well as prayer requests and praise reports, all up there on the site. Additionally, there's a place to partner. If you want to partner with us, we think that's great. If you can't, we understand, and we bless you 10,000 times. If you can and you want to give, awesome. Do it. And if you can't give through the site, you can always reach out to me personally, and then I'll set something up to talk with you one-on-one. Bottom line is the scripture for today, Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the needy and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. That's kind of cool. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
That's right. Don't you forget that. For those of us that know what that is. So I love you, Jacob. You're looking at me going, what?
Yeah, that was that you when you made it here in time? Oh, what a relief it is.
No, that actually had to do with, well, that's the original, like, Alka-Seltzer commercial. That's
okay.
What that is.
Yeah.
way past. All right, so let's
Did not know that.
Yeah, let's go into a prayer for everybody. We got a lot of people traveling, okay, and I want to point that out. So we've got Rosalind's traveling and Joanne's traveling and other people are traveling. And as you know, sometimes I get on the road and I actually travel. Doesn't happen often, apparently this week, but it does happen. And we have people traveling up and down, lots of stuff going on. Let's pray for one another real quickly. Just join your faith with mine. Take our faith. We combine it. It's kind of cool. And we're just asking the Lord for help on traveling mercies, which both Ezra and Nehemiah asked for. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now and we ask you for traveling graces for the people of God, the people that know me, the people that I know, the people that have attachment to us, the people that we don't know but we're connected to in some fashion. We pray for protection, for stamina, for wisdom, for safety. We pray that the angels would be in front, behind, to the north, south, east, and west. We pray that you'd protect your people. Give us that opportunity to drive safe, to function safe, or to travel safe in any fashion that we're doing it. And give us the strength to keep going until we reach our destinations. We pray that not just for our travels, but for our walk in you as well. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so traveling mercies, make sure everybody just prays for one another. It's kind of a cool thing. All right, I want to get into the teaching, and the reason I want to jump into the teaching before I get into the other stuff is because I'm going to share something that the Lord gave me today about this teaching, and I've taught this multiple times, so anytime something comes to me when I'm in the studio, I'm like, gold. Because I think anytime the Lord speaks to you, anytime the Lord answers a prayer, let's just get this straight. That's a miracle. Oh, I know you don't think it's a miracle, but it's God Almighty responding to you. Now, he doesn't owe you an answer. He doesn't owe you an explanation. He doesn't owe you anything. He owes no man anything. But he takes the time, hears our prayers, answers them, guides us, directs us, protects us. He's aware of what we're going to go through, even when we're not aware of what we're going to go through. He's there ahead of us. He's an interlinear being. He knows exactly what's going on. And because of that, and because he's omniscient, because of those things, he is there to help us through. So when God engages with you, when he talks to you, when there's a dream that communicates some kind of truth, when you hear something and your brain goes, ding, 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 I get that. That is all the grace of God being manifested in your life. Now, how cool is that, right? All right. James chapter 1. We're actually going to pick it up. I think we're picking it up from verse 13. James chapter 1 says this. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt anyone. What? Let's just stop there because there's a lot of comments on this, and I've read a lot of comments, but this is the first time I think the Lord's given me an insight that I haven't had, and I want to share it with you, and I'm hoping it's helpful. We should all appreciate the book of James. It's an exceptional letter filled with incredible insight, practical advice on how to walk with the Lord. So here we are, we're at verse 13, 14, and 15. We're going to find out something really deep about temptations. But the first thing that James does is differentiates between temptations and testing. He asserts that when tempted, no one should claim that God is the source of that temptation. God is not the tempter. Satan is. And in fact, Paul mentions when he in Thessalonians how the tempter, he was worried that the tempter would take advantage of the Christians. God is not a tempter, but God is a tester. And it's important to recognize the distinction. So in your brain and in my brain, we're all going, I don't get it. The temptations, the testing. Ah, get this. Ready? I mean, I hope you jot this down. This is better than me. Let me say that. When we are being tested, when we are being tempted, let me say that again. When we are being tempted, it is a decision we have to make for the flesh. But when we are being tested, it is a decision that we have to make for the Spirit. So the difference between tempting and testing is when God tests us, we have to make the decision for the kingdom of God, for the Spirit, for the new man, for the righteousness. But when we're being tempted, it's a decision for the old man, for the old nature, and for the flesh. That's the difference between being tempted and being tested. And I know there's some theologians that bop up and down and even world church leaders that cannot make a distinction between the two, but that's just sad because Genesis 22:1 says God tests. By the way, God tests throughout the entire Old and New Testament, but he tempts no one. It is not the Lord putting something before you so you can make a decision for your flesh. The only thing the Lord puts before you are decisions to make for his Spirit, for your born-again spirit, and for the kingdom of God. That's the difference between the two. But I want to understand something. We've already discussed this at length in the past, that temptation occurs when individuals are lured away by their own desires. It's our inner selves, the old nature, that entices us and tries to lead us astray from the righteous path. So before we break it down in the stages, which we've done before, but we're going to do in a much shorter element, we are going to give you a chance to answer trivia first. Then we're going to come back and get into these stages. And the reason I'm doing it a little early is because there's multiple stages and I don't want to miss this. So here's your trivia question. Boy, I hope you really got that, right? The difference between testing and tempting. When you are tempted, it's a decision for the flesh. When you are tested, it is a decision for the spirit. Wow. Gotta get that, right? All right. What did God ask Abraham to do to prove his love? What did God ask Abraham to do to prove his love? Was it for him to give his wife up, his possessions, or his only son? What did God ask Abraham to do to prove his love? Was it to give up his wife, his possessions, or his only son? If you think you know the answer and you're in San Diego, which means it's probably about 11:46-ish, you can reach out to us. Plus, if you're in Dallas, it's 1:46-ish. If you want to, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the trivia question, pretty straightforward, not overly complex. What did God ask Abraham to do to prove his love for him? Did he ask him to give up his wife, his possessions, or his only son? That's the question. Now, the reason I'm going right back into this text is because this is lengthy, and I'm not going to be able to do it justice in this 5-6-7 minute period. So I want to go right to it. Verse 14 of James 1, but each one of us is tempted when by his own evil desires he's lured away and enticed. Stop. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. These are stages, people. I want you to get that. These are stages. It's crucial to understand that temptation has stages because being tempted is not a sin in itself, and it should not be considered a sin. If Satan tempts you with something and you resist, you have not sinned. Even if the thought or feeling momentarily attaches itself to you, what matters is how you respond to it. Now, there's lots of arguments as to how the temptation comes in. Move past that for a minute and listen to what I'm saying. Temptation becomes sin when we allow the desire to conceive and give birth. Now, this means that when a desire enters our mind or our hearts, through our eyes, through our ears, through whatever, and we continue to entertain that desire that's evil, and we shape it and we transform it into what we want it to be, then it becomes sin. So let's give all the credit to the hundreds of ministers who said, and it wasn't just Oral Roberts or Billy Graham or anybody else who said, temptation are like birds flying above your head. You can't stop birds from flying above your head, but you can certainly stop them from making a nest in your hair. Get that? So the temptation's going to come. It's what you do with it. And in fact, it's ironic because lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil is one of the things that Jesus, you know, kind of warns us about is that, look, we can't get into that process where we're getting it, where we're taking thoughts that are not appropriate. And we are what? Shaping them, transforming them. Wait, here's the worst. Entertaining them. I mean, I can do it as a guy. I can't do it as a gal. You can't get mad at me because I'm a guy, not a gal. Two sexes. Sorry, people. If you can't count 1, 2, you better go watch Kindergarten Cop again. That'll help you. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is if there's a pretty girl walking by and I go, wow, she's pretty. There's nothing wrong with that. She's pretty. Great. It's that next moment. Wow, she's pretty. And wouldn't you like to? And that's the entertaining. We just took it from stage 1 to stage 4. What happens? It goes from insemination, right, to birth to judgment. And so what you want to do, this is the worst thing you're going to get mad at me. Don't get mad at me for saying this. This is just a way to say it. This is one pregnancy you don't want to come to fruition, this particular zone. In other words, when it happens, right, you want to go, no. That's right then and there. You want to not only put the brakes on it, you want to pull every weapon you have from every element of arsenal you have. You want to get the word of God. You want to be in prayer. You want to do other things. Because Satan's just going to keep dropping stuff and dropping. So I don't know if you notice this or not, but when you live in the world, there's a lot of temptation that's thrown at you. There's a lot of float, isn't there? I mean, it's in the air. I mean, you guys know that. That's the spirit that's in the air, that's in the world. Here's the answer. No. That's the answer. And you're thinking, wait. Were you trying to tell me I can say no? Yeah, not only can you say no, you have to say no, because if you don't say no, then you're entertaining it, shaping it, molding it, giving it birth. And what happens after sin is gives birth? It gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So in other words, you've taken it on, you shaped it, you molded it, you've given it life, you've breathed into it, and you've kept it. And now the Lord ain't happy. That's it. And you think, well, what are you trying to tell me when it first comes at me? It's not a sin. It's a sin if you keep it, entertain it, mold it, shape it, form it, and hang on to it. It's not a sin if you go, no. What does the scripture teach us? Saying no to ungodliness. You know, everybody got mad at Nancy Reagan. I don't care. But they got mad at Nancy Reagan because she had that just say no. Guess what? That's in the Bible. Just say no, no. How can you do that? Well, the power of Christ lives inside of you. So that's how you do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And oh, by the way, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So there you go. So on understanding that, you're like going, okay, wait a minute. So temptation itself is not the sin. That is correct. It is what you do with it. That's the kill. That's where you got to pull the switch. That's where you got to fight your way through. You get that? I love this book because this book's just so, it's like, oh my goodness. And then, and just because it's so cool, I have to do it. Then in verse 16, he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. And he says this in verse 17. So he doesn't want you to be deceived, which means some people can be deceived. Don't be deceived about what we just talked about. Understand what temptation is. Understand what sin is. They're not the same. You don't have to give in. Verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, of whom there is no change or shifting shadow. So what does that mean? You know, if you go outside and you look at something in the sun, you see the shadow, right? Everybody gets that? Yes, I get that. What happens an hour later to the shadow?
It moves.
What happens 5 minutes later on the shadow?
It moves.
You know what God doesn't do? Move like a shadow. He doesn't move around, doesn't bounce around, and every good and perfect gift is from above. So everything that's given to mankind, period, that's good, period, is a gift from God, which is why medicine is a gift from God. Understandings are a gift from God. Different wisdoms are gifts from God. Peace is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift is from above. You know what the difference is between God's peace and the peace that man produces? We have to medicate to get our peace, or God gives his peace. Want to hear something really cool? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know what a prince is? He's in charge. Oh, let's see. Okay. See, this is the kind of stuff. How do you not love that? And it comes down where? It comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there is no change or shifting shadow. And you know what's cool about that? Here's what's cool about that. Every good and perfect gift that comes from above, there's no variableness, there's no shadow turning. Everything from heaven, the wonderful thing about God, is from his unchanging nature. God doesn't look at you and go, I want you. And then about 5 years later go, nah, I don't want you. That's called changing. God doesn't change. He picked you before the earth began. Now, again, using free will and using predestination, for mankind, it's free will. For God, it's election and predestination. And God's not telling anybody who he elected or predestined, and man has to operate under the understanding of free will. That's it. You can't change that. You can't, oh, no, we can do it. No, you can't. God knows exactly what's going on. Leave it there. And what you and I do is we make sure that, you know, here's the scripture that goes with that, just to help you out real quickly. The scripture says, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everybody that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So God knows who is his, but we, amongst us, we have to depart from iniquity. Those are the two sides of the coin. It's just straightforward. Get that? Okay, great. All right, that's that simple intro on James. I mean, come on. How is that not awesome? And the key in that is to understand the temptation is not the sin. So when you get really angry and you go, right? If you keep it, it becomes murder. If you dump it, it don't. That's what Jesus was teaching. Okay, what did God ask Abraham to do to prove his love, to give up his wife, his possessions, or his only son, Isaac? And the answer is his only son, Isaac, deeply understanding that he was sacrificing the actual promise of God on the altar, trusting God for it. If you're in San Diego, go to hemustincrease.org. You can listen. If you're in Dallas, hang out. More teaching on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus, and as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.